who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday afternoon, December the 30th, 1997. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Coffey of Millington, Tennessee, is the teacher of the afternoon. Now we'll have the blessing or anointing or talent that the Lord's given Brother Jim this afternoon.
Praise the Lord. Now can you hear me? The next generation is coming. That's the next generation. That's our group coming behind us. And they're seeking the Lord. We've got some people seeking the Lord. So we know that God is still moving. God is on His throne, and He is still moving in the land today. See, people that we stood before, I don't think we have any new ones here tonight, so no need for introductions or such. But I want to tell you that deliverance is not my standing up here and calling demons off of you. Deliverance is a way of life. It is continually allowing God to cleanse us. As Jesus said, what He came to do, He came in 3 John to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what He's doing in you and I today. And it's we have people that want cafeteria-style deliverance. I want to get this. I want to get rid of this and this and this. But don't touch this, this, and this. Amen. And that doesn't work. God wants clean people. God wants people who are completely open to whatever God wants to do. This is the way God accepts us and the way God deals with us. And He wants us to come before Him with an open heart, an open soul, and ready to receive through the ear, to enter into the Spirit, those things that He's prepared for us. But we need it in our spirit. We need to get deliverance and the teaching of deliverance in our spirit, because then as we have need, God brings it back out. The enemy steals what we put here in this part, in the soulish part, the mind. And he will take that away from me. It's possible for him to steal all of that. But when you put it in your spirit is sealed. So when you put the word of deliverance and the word of complete word of God, all that you can take and receive of the word of God in your spirit, the enemy cannot steal it out of your heart, out of your spirit, because it has been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Let's stop here right now. Heavenly Father,
yes, Lord.
We ask right now that the word come. The word, that word that is Jesus, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, minister to each one here right now, Lord, especially to me, that I might bring forth that you desire that they receive this day, but then make them open receptacles to receive of you, Lord, so that we may have those things that are necessary for life and for godliness. And this portion we especially need, Father, so minister to us this day so that we can hear and receive. And we'll give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You see, you have a will. The devil can't just make you do something because he wants to. The devil can't put a curse on you because he wants to. The Scripture says that a curse cannot causeless come. You might not believe in curses. That does not change the fact that they are here and they are real. They will operate when someone curses you. Curse is a demon. That's all in the world if it is. It's a demonic power come upon you to administer whatever is sent to you. And there are people that are professional curse casters. There are those who simply have given themselves over to the devil to allow the devil to use them. And he enforces the words that they use. Do you know your words have power? Do you know your words hurt people when they are wrong words? Do you know your words build up people when they are right? When you speak the right words, you can lift a person from out of the very depths of despair and bring them up. Now, I don't know where we're going, but God does, so bear with me, because I'm trusting God today. Now, I've got some scripture. Don't worry. I've got scripture. We're going to talk about some demons here in a minute. But God wants us a set-apart people. He wants us to trust Him to the extent that He can move in us and through us. And the only way He can move in us or through us is that we give ourselves over to Him. The word's called believe. And we have to walk in believe. And the other side of the word that goes with it is faith. Got to have that. And it simply means believe. It just means believe that God's going to do what He said He'd do. And do we trust God that way? Yes, we do, but then we get in trouble. We go so far and just like Adam, I'd rather do it myself. And then when we take over, our old will, the computer up here, gets in the way and we forfeit what God wants to do. Because when the flesh is moving, God can't move. I want to talk to you really today. The spirit that I'm going to talk on is fear. And when I look out here, I can see that most people say, well, I don't have any. I want you to search deeply because every one of you has got some type of fear in you. Every one of you here has some type of fear. There is something in there, down deep in there, that you fear. Let's look at some scripture as we go along. Of course, the very top of the list when you talk about fear is 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. If you have fear, the first thing it tells you, it's not from God. God didn't do that. God didn't put fear in you. It is not of God. Fear never comes from God. We'll start off right to see what Strong says fear is. Dalia is the Greek word for fear. It means timidity. It means fear. And it comes from a word, delos. I don't know whether I'm pronouncing those right. I tell everybody I know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. One of them runs a clothing store, and the other one runs a restaurant down the street. And that's my knowledge of Greek and Hebrew. But I have a strong concordance, and God gave me a mind and told me to use it. So I go into something that somebody else has already studied out that I feel that I can trust, and I take those. And this second word that it comes from means to dread, timid. Get this one. Faithless. Fearful. You see, faith cannot work when fear is present. They are diametrically opposed one to the other, and fear will always cancel out faith, and you will lose your faith when you walk in fear. You cannot trust God if you fear. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? But that is true. It will not work. Your faith will not work. It will bring... I've got a lot of things here before we get through. We'll tell you what it will bring, but it'll bring the torment in your life. And when you're in torment, let me ask you this. How much do you trust God when you're in pain, severe pain? Can you, on your own, in most cases, turn to the Lord and say, Lord, now heal me? We do for the first time it hits. Well, you let that thing hang on for a while, and that pain continue. And pretty soon you get to the point you say, somebody help me. I can't handle this any longer. Well, fear is like that. It will totally turn you away from turning to God and trusting into God to move and to have His way in your life. So if it's not from God, where can it be from? There are two sources at work in the world today. Only two. It's just two. There's two powers at work. One is the Lord, the other is Satan. He said, but I have a mind of my own, but it is controlled by one or the other. And your will is always involved in one or the other. It's one or the other is working on your will all of the time. And it's up to you who you will allow to move in your life. These people that come in and want to set me free. Call nicotine off of me. Don't touch my caffeine. We call the nicotine off. They want a quick fix to start with. They want you. They're lazy. And they want you to do the work for them to get rid of the things that they will not touch in their own life. I tried to get rid of cigarettes in my life for years. My wife gave them up like, boop, and they were gone. Because the Lord convicted her one day. Yes, she smoked too. We're not the perfect people you thought we were. Oh, they found that out. Okay. But you know, I got convicted that I should give up cigarettes. And I was smoking better than two packs of cigarettes a day. Of course, that was in days when cigarettes were a lot cheaper than they are today, because I understand cigarettes are really expensive today. But I worked civil service for the government, and we had a commissary and a carton of cigarettes, but it wasn't but $2.10. So we could get 10 packs of them for $2.10. And that was very easy, and you could afford to smoke. Yeah? Oh, I've told my age, haven't I? Well, that's all right. I would try my best, and I was convicted, and I wanted to get rid of those things. But do you know there was a spirit called addiction that would not let me turn them loose? I would try the very best that I could. I'm not going to smoke another, and then I'd take that pack of cigarettes out, and I'd put them in my shears, put them over the garbage can, and one whack will cut a whole pack in two of my shears, and it just whacked them in two. So I'd drop in the garbage can, and I'd leave, and about 3 or 4 hours later, or the next day, I'd go back and smoke half cigarettes. I'm not proud of that, but I did it. Because the addiction was so strong on me that I could not. And I'd hide them from my wife every way that I could to keep from smoking, or let her know I was smoking while I was away from her. Ashamed. Oh, I was ashamed. You see, we're not what we look like we are all the time. And these are the things that we have. But you know, one day, I came to a decision and I said, Lord, if you do not take these, and I actually said this. Now, this is not, in retrospect, it's something that I made up to make it look good today. I was working in my shop. I had an upholstery shop. And I was working, and I said, Lord, if you do not take these cigarettes, the desire for these cigarettes away from me, I'm going to smoke them from now on. I'm not going to throw away another pack of cigarettes. I even smoked cigars for a long time. I must have had 15 boxes there of cigars that I had smoked over the period of time. But now it was cigarettes. And I said, I'm going to do it if you do not take it away. And I'm not going to throw them away. In fact, I took them out of my pocket and set them on the shelf right up in front of my sewing machine. And where I had to look at them every day, and every time I sat down at that sewing machine for every job that I did where I had to sew, I had to look at that pack of cigarettes. That was in the middle of the day. At the end of the day, I hadn't smoked a cigarette. I came to work the next morning. I didn't want one when I got out of bed. I have never wanted another cigarette to this day. I have never smoked another cigarette to this day. I've never smoked any part of another cigarette. The only thing that I've had was the secondhand smoke that somebody else had already blown out in the air that I caught. Now, and it doesn't make me sick, and it doesn't make me want to smoke. Now, that's how deliverance is. It will take it completely away from you and separate you from it. Now, that was, oh my goodness, 20-some years ago, possibly. She says longer than that, and she's usually right. At my age, you know, time don't mean very much. But it was years and years ago, and the Lord has kept that out of my life. Now, I worked with a man who made an agreement with his son that if he'd quit chewing tobacco as a student, high school student, he would quit smoking. That was 20 years ago. That was 20 years ago. And to this day, he still wants cigarettes. He says every time he gets in a vehicle with his wife and she lights a cigarette, she's got to open the window. It just drives him up the wall for the desire for cigarettes. Now, he's quit for 20 years, but he still has that desire down in it. Now, that's willpower. That's done with sheer willpower. But you know, my God took him away from me, and it doesn't bother me. You can smoke all, anybody can smoke all they want to around me, and it doesn't bother me. It doesn't create any desire in me. So I want you to see deliverance. I'm not talking about that as itself, but this is deliverance. What is fear? Well, it doesn't give you much of a definition when you go into Strong's other than the one that I had quoted to you. But when you look in the dictionary, it says it's a strong, unpleasant emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. It is a reason for alarm or a reason for danger. So when fear rises up, it's ringing a bell. It's really telling you, hey, there's something you need to do. And we'll find out before we get through what we really need to do to get rid of this fear. But whatever the situation is, we need to take care of it right now. It's what it's telling us. We need to get rid of this situation that is upon us and that is hampering us. Do you know it strips you of your witness when others see fear in you? A brother, night before last, gave us that illustration of his child in that storm, and that was beautiful. When we have faith in a person or what something is said, how the fears leave us and are gone. That child stood, and when his father said, "No, you're not going to die. That storm is not going to succumb you, and it's not going to override you." And he says, "In that case, I'm going to bed." You see how complete, when the fear is gone, how complete we change and how it affects our whole life. Now, we expect children perhaps to get fearful sometime. But in adults, we don't want to see fear in adults. When, as I said, it makes you faithless. We can't have the faith in God. God has written on us to operate in fear. God has made the promise to us already. The promises are already there. Now, if we walk in fear, what we are saying is, "God, your word isn't strong enough to protect me." You just take the sixth chapter of Matthew, where Jesus is preaching, and he tells the people what God has given. He said, "Look at Solomon, how he was in all of his glory. He was not arrayed like that lily." And he clothed the bird, even the bird, he clothed and he fed them. And it came down to verse 33 when he said, "Now, for you, what you need to do is seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And when he told me all these things, I'm taking in a lot of things. Not just clothes, food, housing. I'm taking in God's Word. I want God's Word to take care of me. I'm not there yet. I'm like my brother today. I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. I'm still moving toward what God has got. And I'm not going to slack and stop and stay off. You know, we get to plateaus in our life. We go so far and then we rest. We sit down and sometimes we rest too long. We get hung at a spot and then we just kind of stop. God don't want us to stay in those places. He wants us to continue to move. As I said before, God never changes, but we are a changing people, and He wants us to continually change to grow in Him. Amen. And so He's provided everything that we need to continue that growth. He said He gave us love. Can anybody really give me a true definition of love? That thing is so deep and piercing in so many areas, I don't think the mind really comprehends all of love. When I looked at the dictionary, it said that it is a fatherly concern of God for man, or man for man, and it's a concern. I could quote you any number of good scriptures on love, but the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians ends up with now. There's faith, hope, and charity, or faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Amen. I don't really think we understand how to love God. We know a good deal about man to man, or husband and wife especially. And that chapter that I just quoted the tail end of gives us many, many good points within our life, how to love and what love really is. But when it comes to love the Father, we don't really seem to understand it. If we do, we know we have the promise. The promise provides everything that we need. And we can walk in everything that we need when we truly love the Father. Is that not true? Because if we love, then we would obey, do His commandments, and all that He's promised would be ours. So I don't think we've reached that point yet. So there's there is an area in our life that we might look at as the days come after we leave here of how do I really love God? How should I really show my love for God? Can I do better in that area of my life? Because God wants us to grow. Are we growing? Are we really truly growing, or have we camped? We sang the cloud is moving. Are we really moving again? We need to be on the move for the Lord. Romans 8, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Bondage, it brings bondage. Fear looses bondage on us. We are not free any longer when we start in and allow fear to grip us and seize upon us and terrorize us. And I know that I've heard of situations where people have said, well, we really should be afraid of this. What would happen what happens if a man throws his gun up in your face and says, I'm going to kill you? What happens? What do you do? How do you really react? This day and time, there is so much meanness in the world itself, especially outside of the church, that there are killings every day. In major cities, they go every day with killings in them. Where I come from, it's just a daily affair. And it's not commonplace, but to some people it is. Because it just happens with regularity. And it becomes commonplace when it comes with that type of regularity. And we just had a lady killed there that was not involved in any of this. Two gangs got the shooting and they killed her. She was filling up her tank at the gas station. What do you do when somebody does this? What can happen if he does kill you? Well, that'll send me home to be with the Lord, won't it? And that was the whole purpose of our being here today, was to get in preparation to go to be with God. Now, that's the ultimate. But when we put our trust in God, if it's God's will and we have walked with the Lord, then we can trust Him to take care of that situation. I've heard of it happening. I've heard of it being people being shot in the face and the bullet never struck them. That close, just standing right in front and firing a gun and the bullet fell to the floor. I don't know that I have that kind of faith tonight. Do you have that kind of faith? We are working to get there with the Lord, and we need to be sure, not just when somebody throws a gun on us, but from everyday situations of whatever arises, that we are trusting in something higher and better than ourselves, that we do not have to fear, that He is taking care of us in every situation. My God is real. God is not a figment of somebody's imagination that they penned a book about. There is a book about Him, all right, but He wrote it. And He is real. And the thing about His book is that it is perfect. Nothing is left out. Not only is nothing left out, it is true. And you can base your complete life upon the writings that is in that book. And we can walk in this day and this time. I said before, years ago, the other afternoon when I had the meeting, there was a time when we didn't lock the doors. You know, you had the freedom of just walking out and leaving your house unlocked. Back years ago, you never thought about locking a door. Nobody bothered anything. You know, you can't do that today, but this day and time that we live in, not only can you not leave your door unlocked, you better take care of yourself and not go in certain areas of town when you get out. Because there's certain areas of town it's just not safe to be in. Why is all this? It's a breakdown of the family unit. This is the first thing that I see. That was the original cause. Satan is behind it, of course. He is destroying families. He does not want the family. He does not want proper placement of father, mother, and child. The child is ruling the family today. Now, maybe not in your family, but you get outside of your own group. And you see what goes on. And the child rules the family. There is no thought of God in their life. No Jesus at all. They don't know who Jesus is. They know nothing about Him. I live in a big town or on the edge of a big town. And this is characteristic of a big town. And I'm telling you why it is. Because the enemy has removed so much of their soul, there is absolutely no conscience left. And when they get out and shoot somebody, it doesn't bother them. And if they get caught, that's all right. They'll spend a little time in jail. But the jails are so full now that you're not going to have to spend the whole time there anyhow. And on top of that, you're going to get paroled because they're going to have that space for another group that's coming in right behind you. And they know they're not going to spend a whole lot of time in jail. So they laugh about it. And they do. They sit in the courtroom and laugh. Had a man that killed three people. Actually, he shot them, but they weren't dead. So he buried them. Alive in a grave that was already dug and put a piece of plywood on it and threw some dirt on it. And the next day they came in and put a casket on top of it and covered it up. And those people were buried alive. Those three people were buried alive in the city of Memphis. And he sat in the courtroom and laughed about it when they caught him. He got those, they exhumed those bodies and found out who did it and tried him and convicted him. And he sat and laughed about it. Didn't bother him a bit. And I saw on television, I saw him on television as he was convicted. And he just sitting like, there's no problem here. They owed him money. They owed him money, we'd pay it. Couldn't pay it right then. So he killed a boy, his mother, and his girlfriend. No conscience. No conscience. The enemy had stripped them of their soul to the point that they had no conscience left. They don't know nothing about serving a true and a living God. We're hearing prophecies of catastrophes coming upon this country right now. Some of the people that are prophesying this have a good track record of what they prophesy of coming true. I don't know all about it. I'm listening to a tape, have been since we've come over here. It's been given to us. I don't know whether it's real or not. They're claiming that there'll be thousands killed. We all feel that there are dramatic things happening in the world today, in the United States, are going to hit the United States now. They say there will be thousands killed. And nobody pays any attention. I don't know about that. I know that you and I have to keep short accounts of our life every day if we intend to walk with the Lord. Because if we do not keep short accounts, and that is confession of when we are wrong and of repenting of our wrong in our life. And I don't mean doing it on the weekend after you've gone through a week when you get to church. Or I don't intend for you to do it at night after you spent the day. When you have discovered that you are wrong, you need to confess your sin to the Lord and repent from it. That way the enemy has no open door to you. Because if he has an open door, he puts in what we know as a demon in you. And when that demon gets in you, he's going to do his best to destroy you completely. Either kill you, and if he can't kill you, he's going to ruin your testimony, your witness, your ministry. What happened to all these big ministries just recently, remember? What happened? Why did these people do these things? These were God's people, weren't they? You know who I'm talking about. You know the big name ministries that have gone down in the last few years. And the Lord says that's not all of them that are going to fall. There's still more of them going to fall. Their eyes are on the wrong thing. They're not seeking Him first. So we need as individuals to get our eyes on the right place so that we'll have the power of the Most High God to prevent anything from attacking us as we do our daily walk. That scripture I read, 8. We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We've received the spirit of adoption. We have been adopted into the family of God. We are a part of the God's family. And as we open ourselves and begin to receive the word and begin to walk in, we walk into the kingdom, that kingdom of God. As we learn about our God and apply it. That word Abba Father. We used to, in my early beginning, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we were traveling around with a lady, and she was going down in Mississippi, first one place and another. We traveled to the place that Brother Pittman's going to the first of next month, I think it'll be about the first of next month. That prayer meetings have been going on for years. I think it's, I don't remember what day, I think it's the first Monday of every month. I'm not sure. I've ministered there a long time ago. And they have a goodly number of people that come from miles around. We drove 45, 50 miles to get down there. We've ministered down in the Mississippi down there, and I lost my train of thought. Where am I going? Come back, bring it back to me, Lord. Yes, it was at that prayer meeting. Not that prayer meeting, I beg your pardon. We were at another place right near Sardis, Mississippi. That's where that prayer meeting is. There's another place that was holding some weekend meetings, and we were down there when there's a girl that sang and played the guitar. And as she prayed, she always talked about Abba, Father, Daddy. Daddy, my daddy. Abba is a Chaldean word. It means father as a vocation. Doesn't mean daddy. And I don't think any of you are going to stand in front of God and call him daddy. You might do it here, but I don't think you'll stand before the Most High God and say daddy. He is God. That to me says so much more than what I can attain, ever attain, that he is God. He is my Father, but he is God, the ruler of this universe. And not only this, he is ruler of all of it. I don't know how far it goes. I have no idea. So, that used to bother me when she would say that term, daddy. And that's not who we serve and who we worship. We worship the Most High God, our Father. And I just never did like that term. But we are adopted. We are Abraham's children by adoption. We fall in that place that he promised the Hebrew people, the children of Israel, by adoption, which makes us exactly the same, that we get into the same thing as the blood children did. And because they would not receive what God had done, naturally, you know that they were pulled out and we were set in place. Don't get proud, it said. Because one day they shall come back in. Israel will come back in and they will recognize Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So, We're in there, and this is who we are, and we need to depend on him to be set free from all that the enemy is trying to put on us today. 1 John 4, 17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." Love is made perfect, that we may have boldness. Won't you be glad if you can stand before God in that day of judgment in boldness and not fear and not have to worry about, is my past confessed up? You see, it's like this. Every time we confess the sin, it gets wiped out. This one over here, we confess that one, it gets wiped out. And we will not be charged with that when we stand before my God. And so, right next to it over here, I love this. Oh, how I love this. 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins, and not only that, but he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that really cleans the slate up, so that does not give a crack for the enemy to slip in again. And we will not have to stand and answer for that one when we stand before him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Causes some problems, doesn't it, is what he's saying. When we fear, we can't walk in the maturity of love, of standing before God, of being complete in him, because fear has entered in. So fear really paralyzes us to do the things that God wants us to do. Luke 21. Now, yes, when at the end time be, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to pick up the one verse now. In verse 21, 26, it says, men's hearts will be failing them for fear. The end time. And looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. It's hard to think that the powers of heaven to be shaken, but yet the enemy has gained some strength. He's not going to be victorious. Don't get to worry about that one and don't get fearful of that. There's no demon or no Satan or devil or anything else or fallen angel that can overcome our God. He is more powerful than all of them together. And when he says enough, I mean, he's just going to stop it by speaking it forth. He's going to sit there on that white horse and he say, it's finished. And that's the end of it, just like that. When he speaks it forth, it's just like that sharp two-edged sword went forth and cut back and forth all of the devil's power out. And it all he had to do was speak it. And that's all he has to do today. And we get fearful over situations that come up, and my God, can it simply stop the devil with one word just like that? And who do you have living in you? Who's living in you? Have you given him room in your life for him to move like that in your life to stop when the enemy hits you and you have sickness, when you have headaches? What about when people get cancer, AIDS? Can you trust God for truly, for those that have AIDS, I think the only answer they have is the Lord. That's right. Repent and let the Lord do the work. There's no medicine that will heal that malady. Cancer, some forms of cancer are so destructive that they've not found cures for them yet. But those who trust in the Lord now, I didn't say everything would get healed. That's not it. Some have to go home. Some will have to go home. But can you trust the Lord to let Him make the decisions for our lives, that when we have served Him and when it's time, that we'll go freely and without fussing and fighting and fearful over whether we go home with Him? Brother tells us it's very a very easy thing to pass into. There's one back here. Brother Pittman has been there. He saw it and he experienced it. And I've come to believe, I've heard it said, and I've come to believe the nearest thing that I've heard that I agreed with but hadn't been there, so the only thing I could do was decide that's for me, was to pass through the door from one end to the other, from the physical into the spiritual, and to allow God to do all of it and say, here I am. Here I am, Lord. And that's all we can do. We might as well face it. That's all we can do. So here we are. We're here, Lord. You call us, and here we're here. Or else the devil sent us. Yeah, he sends some. He still does. It's not God's will that all should perish, but that they should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. Those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven are shaken. Why would men's hearts fear? Why would they stand when these things, when the earth is shaken? See, they had a wrong relationship with their God. They were not in accord with His Word. They had not allowed and applied the Word to themselves. And you can be fearful at that time, I believe, because from that point on, there is no respite. There's no turning back when God calls at this point. That word shaken means to be disturbed, destroyed, or to agitate. So this place in which we live, even the heavens were going to be destroyed. We have the promise of that. We have the reading of that. We know that this place will burn. I mean, it will be judged and made pure by fire. And I don't think we're going to be up there sitting on cloud nine plunking a harp the rest of our lives. That's not where God said we'd be. We're going to be busy. We don't know what's out there. We don't know what all we're going to have to do. We don't know how many beyond the stars what's out there. Maybe we might have to minister to something out there. Who knows? I'm not saying that's it, but who knows? But God's got a job for you. And it will not end when you become spirit, true spirit, full spirit, standing before God. That's when you go to work. Right. You're going to work then. And it will be a joyous work. He said there'd be no tears, no sorrow. And it'd be a wonderful place to be in. But we're not going out there and sitting down when we've come to face God. We're going to serve our God. We're going to be busy serving Him. Hebrews, the second chapter of Hebrews. 14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself," and he's talking about Jesus, "he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Verse 15, "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Said he's going to deliver. Well, that deliver there, you know there are many words for deliver. It's not just one word that means to deliver. There are many that are used in the Bible. This one means a release, to make different or to change. He's going to change us. So, he said he'd set us free, change us who, through fear of death, we were in bondage. Bondage is a terrible thing. You know, it will put people in mental hospitals. It'll tie you down to where you can't operate, even if you don't have to go to the hospital. You can't function normally. It plays right here, right in the mind. That bondage. You know, this is the devil's playground. This is where he sits up there and he just seems to enjoy tearing things apart and putting us... Who is he? Who is this fellow we fight against? Will he really harm us? He is out to kill you. There is no good in him. Absolutely nothing of any good or any worth in the devil. He is your arch enemy. He is the very worst thing that can happen to you in this lifetime. And he is out to destroy you completely. One way or another. And if he can't kill you, he will destroy your witness or your ministry altogether. He will put you down, or he will separate you from people, from friends. He will do anything in his power, or he is able to do, or is able to slip in to do, to put you down. And my God is real, and he wants the very best for you and me, and he wants us separated to serve him. So, he says that he will replace that fear of death in us as we turn to the Lord. Luke 1, verse 74. Zacharias prophesying to the oath which he swore to our father Abraham that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. Without fear. Are you fearful of the devil? You better not be. He'll take advantage of that. Don't miss or underestimate him. He has power. He does have power. But my God has more power. And as we walk in the power of the Lord, we do not have to fear even Satan and what he can do to us. Amen. For we have residing in us the Most High God.
Amen.
Jesus and the Holy Spirit, it says, is the Spirit of Jesus. Does it not, didn't they say that was the Spirit of Jesus? The Holy Spirit? I read that in the Bible, and that was the Spirit of Jesus. Prophecy, Revelation. If Jesus Christ lives here, is he not able to put down anything? I don't care what Satan does. Is he not able to handle it? Now, for him to do that, we have to get ourselves in the place of blessing. I call it that, simply meaning it means that we will be obedient to the Word of God. We will listen to Him. We will hear His voice. We'll allow Him to move through us as we walk the world. He said that's what He needs right now, is vessels that He could inhabit, that the hands would do the work of the Lord, the feet would go to the place that the Lord sends, the mouth would speak forth what the Lord wants to speak, not what flesh wants to speak, but what God wants brought forth. We find some people like that today. We're finding more and more, praise God, that they're willing to allow that. But Zacharias knew who he had here, and he prophesied this. Romans 6. I want to rush on through this now because I've got several more scriptures I want to get to. 16 says, "Know ye not to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to obey, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you've become the servants of righteousness. So we are made free. It is no longer has dominion. That is the rule. It no longer rules us. Doesn't say you won't sin. You still have that will. That will work either way. You can will to sin or will not to sin. That's your will. People say, well, I can't help it. Yes, you can help it. The devil made me do it. There's no such thing. You did it on your own because you wanted to do it. Yeah, he gave you the thought. He put it in there. He slipped that little thought in there to do it. But you made the decisions to do it. And we can't blame the devil. Those demons always took control of me and I had to do it. No, you have a will. You have a will. I'll grant you a great part of that part has been, in some cases, in some people, a great part has been fragmented and removed out. But you still have a will. God made you free from sin by Hebrews 9, one of the things. 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serving a living God? How much more? Well, he was talking about the blood of bulls and goats and the days before Jesus Christ, who covered their sins. Did not obliterate them, it covered the sin. And nearly they had to go and have their sins covered. And then he said, how much more shall the blood of Christ? We need to apply the blood. We have to apply. Knowing about the blood does not make the blood work. Knowing about the Word of God does not make the Word of God work. You apply that Word to yourself. You do it by being obedient to the Word, by allowing God to do what He wants to do, submitting yourself to Him. Over in Peter, and I don't know exactly where it is, it's 2 Peter, I believe, but it says principalities and powers were made subject to Jesus. Even they are subject to Jesus. Subject, what does it mean, subject to Jesus? It means they are in obedience to Jesus. They have to obey Him. You say, well, why don't you just go and cast out all those devils? Well, it's because even though the Word said so, the Lord wanted everybody saved, but that don't mean everybody got saved. So everybody doesn't get set free, just because the Word said that we could be set free. Not everybody will submit to the Word of God. And this is the biggest hindrance I see today. And I see it all over, everywhere that I go, that we do not submit to the Word of God. Jeremiah 42, I want to just give one little verse here. Jeremiah 42, verse 11. He says, be not afraid of the kings of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hands. Of course, he was talking about the king that was going to come in and take them captive. But the king that he's really talking about is, be not afraid of the rulers of sin and confusion and apostasy in this day and time. The ruler. Who is the ruler? Satan is the ruler. As I said, don't underestimate him. He does have some power. But that does not mean that he's going to overpower you and everything he comes in contact with, because my God has greater power. And he is in control, even though the world many days looks like God is no longer in control when you see the catastrophes happening in the world today. That does not mean that my Lord has lost control. He knew all about it. Even before it came to pass, he was well aware of that situation. And he's still bringing his people in. And I cannot answer for my God, because my God has all knowledge. I've got one or two other things give you. 1 John 3:22. I don't think I touched that one. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. That scripture, that first verse I read, because we keep his commandments. Compromise has slipped in. It slipped in individuals. It slipped in ministries. We say one thing, we do something else. We say the Word, we're aware of the Word, we're knowledgeable of the Word, And for one reason or another, we do not do the word. And when we take a part of that word, it's like we're talking about, several people have mentioned it. You do something and you do it 98% right. What about the 2% that's left? Well, 2% of poison will kill you. The right kind of poison, especially the right kind of poison, 2%. And when we compromise the word, it's just like that. We have opened doors because we were, if you want the true term for it, we were disobedient. We didn't do the complete word. We didn't do all of it, so therefore we were disobedient. And God is a merciful God, I know that. But how long will compromise stand before God when we continue? You see, when we start doing those things, it is so easy to do it over and over again once you ever start. Bill and I, neither one of us take sugar for a reason. And if I slip in and I start eating little pieces of candy, it will become a habit. And I will have more sugar and more sugar and more sugar in my blood. See what I'm saying? It's addictive. Sin is addictive. Breaking the word is addictive. It is, you know, sin, the Bible tells us it's nice for a season. It's okay. It feels good for a little while. But then comes the time that we have to answer for what we have done. And we have to answer for opening the door and allow the enemy a place in our life. And don't think he won't take it.
Yes.
Matthew 17:19 says, "Then came the disciples unto Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out?" Talking about a demon. "And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you had the faith as grain of mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, Remove hence in yonder place, and it should remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you."
Amen.
Did you hear that?
That's right.
He said that to disciples. And I found out that a disciple is a learner of God. And we are learners of God. I think that I'm covered. I think that covers me. My faith is got to get up there yet. I still have to operate closer to my God where that'll work in my own life. What about you? Would you like to have that working in your life where you could say, we've got other scriptures of that, but that's sufficient. Chapter 13 of Matthew. I'll run through these right quick. I want to call some. Oh, I meant to do something else. 58:58. "He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Jesus. In his own hometown. And because of their unbelief. Jesus could not do. Healed a few sickly people. You know, little minor coughs, colds, things like that. No mighty works. Unbelief. It stops it. It stops the work. It stops deliverance. You must forgive. I'm not going to go through and time's running out. You must forgive. Primary. We did this day before yesterday. But I say again, if you have knowledge of any unforgiveness within you, for anyone that has hurt you or you think's hurt you, whether it's real or not, living or dead, forgive them. Forgive them. God cannot work past unforgiveness. It halts all of God's work, and He cannot move through that. Praise God. Do you want any deliverance this evening? Anybody want deliverance? Do you really want? No, don't just hold up your hand because I said that. Anybody want deliverance? I see some hands. Okay. Heavenly Father, cleanse our place of worship. Send your angels even to bring out, take out any demons that would hinder the deliverance right now. Remove them from our presence. Bind them in chains and carry them out and away wherever you desire, Lord. And keep them away from us that they'll not return to harass us. Convict us of the wrong in our life and set us free, Lord. Just set us free. We praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. What I meant to do, and I failed to do it, when I went through. Does anybody have any fears here that you know of? And don't be ashamed of it. If you got fears, I want some names of the fear that is present. I can call big fear, little fear, man, woman, name it.
Finances.
What about fear of lack of finances? How about poverty? All right, we'll put out poverty. What else? Rejection. People, and what was the next one?
Assault.
Any more others? That's just doubt. Yeah, he's probably said that's yours. When we meet the condition, it's ours. Failure. That's real. That is really real. I hesitate with that one. If we walk with the Lord, that thing's not coming back. I'm going to put fear of deliverance here. Well, it would. That would be a failure for us to hold that. Anyone else? If I don't want to spend too much time on this. Well, fear of water. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I call off poverty. Poverty. Fear of poverty. Fear of poverty in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. That spirit of poverty and that fear of it, in Jesus' name, I cast out fear. Fear of rejection. Spirit of fear of rejection. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Fear of people. People. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. Fear of man. Fear of woman. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fear of assault. Fear of assault. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on out. Move. Move in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I call fear of death. Fear of death in the name of Jesus. Loose them. Loose them. Come on. That fear is there. These people, that's there. That needs to go. Fear of death. Death. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ set us free from that. Fear of death. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fear of death. Death. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Claustrophobia. Fear of claustrophobia. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I break that hold. I break that fear and terror of being in a tight place in the name of Jesus, a closed off place in Jesus' name. You'll not operate. I command you to loosen. Loose them and come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fear of failure. Fear of failure. Let them go. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out. Fear. Fear. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Fear of retirement. Fear of retirement in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes that spirit of fear of retirement. Come out. Come out. Come on out. Jesus rebukes you. The Lord Jesus rebukes you. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. Fear of deliverance. Fear of deliverance in the name of Jesus. Move. Move in Jesus' name. Come on, take a deep breath and blow them out. Blow them out. Everybody breathe out heavy. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Fear of water. Fear of water. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Fear of drowning. Fear of drowning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Okay, I've got a list here. We'll go into some others. Evil imagination. I call up that spirit of evil imagination. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I call out the thief. The thief in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let him go. Let him go. The false witness. False witness. I command that false witness in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I command the false witness to come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let him go. Let him go. Beast. Beast. I call that beast out. In Jesus' name. That beast. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let him go. Let him go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Move. Move. In Jesus' name. The beast. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Self-exaltation. Self-exaltation. Pride. Pride in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Move. Move in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Unbelief. Unbelief. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. Spirit of unbelief. Necromancy. Necromancy in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Idolatry. Idolatry. Come out. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. Jesus Christ commands you and move, move in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Rebellion. Spirits of rebellion. Rebellion. Come on out. Come on out. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirits of rebellion. Rebellion. You have no place here. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Move. Move from these people. I separate you from each one. I break the chain that holds you there in Jesus' name. I destroy the chain that has bound you and these people in Jesus' name. That spirit of rebellion, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Spirit of crying. Crying in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on out. Come on out. Move. Move. Stubbornness. Stubbornness. Let them go. Let them go. Hatred. Spirit of hatred. Hatred. Provocation. Provocation. Come out. Come out. Wickedness. Wickedness. Loose them. Loose them in Jesus' name. Spirit of wickedness. Wrath. Wrath. Come out. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Evil eye. Evil eye. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I call out a spirit of strife. Spirit of strife in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Come on out of there. Come on out. Move. Move in Jesus' name. Oh, you're a liar. You've got to go. There's spirits here of strife. Command you. Loose this people. Bow to the word of God. You're a liar, a thief, and a robber. You have no place in God's economy. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Loose this people and come out in Jesus' name. All the strife. All the strife, all oppression, oppression. Come on out. Come on out. Move, move. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Foolishness. Spirit of foolishness. Come out. Come out. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. Spirit of pride. Pride. You have no place. You have no place in God's people. Pride has to go. Vanity. Vanity. Come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus. That foul spirit. Foul spirit. Loose them and come out. Loose them and let them go. Unthankfulness. Unthankfulness. Come out. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Move. Move. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eye. Lust of the eye. Move. Move in Jesus' name. Come on. Work with me. Give them a deep breath. Get them. Blow them out. Come on. Blow them out. Cough them out. Get rid of them. Get them moving. Get them moving. Come out. Come on out. Come out. That lying wonder. Lying wonder. That spirit of nudeness, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The pride of life, come out. Come out. Anger. Anger. You got to go. You got to go in Jesus' name. I bind all Satan's power that is over this place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's come in to harass in the name of Jesus. I take authority over demonic control and power over this building in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I bind you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Anger. Anger. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Filthy communications. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on out. Move, move. In Jesus' name. Spiritual wickedness. Lust. Lust. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That spirit of lust. I bind that spirit of lust in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ commands that you move and you come out. Come out. Lust. Lust in Jesus' name. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eye. Lust of the eye. Come on out. Come on out. Let them go. Let them go. Lust of the flesh and lust of the eye. Lust for things. Lust for things. Come on out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Lying spirits. Lying spirits. I cast out lying spirits in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Terror. Terror. In the name of Jesus, I cast out terror. In the name of Jesus, disobedience. Disobedience. I command disobedience to loose and be gone. Loose them and be gone in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Disobedience. Lameness. Lameness and blindness. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. In the name of Jesus. Witchcraft. Witchcraft. I bind witchcraft in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I bind all witchcraft and all witchcraft curses. I destroy the power of the curses in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break the curses and I send them out in Jesus' name. I ask the Lord to deal harshly with the witchcraft in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Drunkenness. Spirit of drunkenness. Spirit of doubt. Spirit of doubt. Spirit of depression. Depression. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Depression. Let them go. Let them go. Spirit of suicide. Suicide. Come out. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Spirit of despair and hopelessness. hopelessness and despair. Come out. Come out. Resentment. Just get clean, people. If it's any hint there, throw him out. Throw him out. Tell him he's got to go. Tell that spirit he's got to go. In the name of Jesus, fight him from the inside. Say, I cannot, you will not. Not aloud, just tell him within yourself, you cannot stay in me. You've got to go. I will not allow you to stay in me any longer. Don't speak it out loud, just speak it within yourself. Despair and hopelessness. Resentment. Resentment. Come out. Come out. Come out. Hate. Spirit of hate. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hate. Hate. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Death. Spirit of death. Death and accidents. Accidents. Come on out. Come on out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on out. Come on out. Move. 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 In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Delusions. Spirit of delusion. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I call your soul back from all the places that it, demons have placed it and hid it. I ask the Father to send the angels to destroy whatever place it is put in, all the bottles or cans or earthen jars, and to destroy and break those jars and release your soul and to return your soul to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask that the souls that you have picked up be removed from you and sent back to those that they belong to in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to where we picked up other souls and had soul ties with people. And I break those ties and I sever them that they'll not return in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Break the curses that were loosed upon you. The curses in Jesus' name. I destroy the power of the curses, the witchcraft and the satanic curses in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I remit the sins of the Father, and I ask you to confess the sins of your Father so that you can be free from any demonic power through the bloodline in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I call those sins of the Father out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke those sins of the Father. Destruction. The destroyer. Apollyon. Abaddon. Abaddon. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The destroyer. I command that destroyer to come out. The one that came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You have no place here. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. I call the false prophet out. The false prophet. In the name of Jesus. I break the power of the triune, Satan's triune head. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, and I command him to loose you in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. And I command the triune head of Satan, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, to loose you and come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I call jealousy out. Jealousy in the name of the Lord Jesus. Brooding, brooding, resentfulness. Resentfulness, bitterness, spirit of bitterness, bitterness, come out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Addiction, spirits of addiction, addiction to nicotine, addiction to alcohol, addiction to drugs, addiction to food, addiction to sports, addiction to hunting. In the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Addiction to sales, of purchasing items, going to sales. Yes, that's an addiction. I see it in people that can't miss a sale. I know people that can't miss Saturday morning going from house to house where they're selling their junk and swapping junk for more junk. I call that addiction out in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Addiction to caffeine. Addiction to sweets, candies, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on out, come on out. It's about that time. It's a little past that time. It's a little past the time.
Whenever you're ready to pray, pray for
me. Okay, I'll clean it up and I got two or three working. We have several still work. Continue to minister. And I'm going to get everybody to stand that's not working. And we're going to cleanse our church. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, send your angels, sweepers, those that will clean, those that will bind those spirits, those that will take the demons out, in the name of the Lord Jesus, of everything that's come out or everything that's loose, every demon that's loose in this building, those that have been cast out in previous deliverances, those that came out of this corner here, Lord, take them out and bind them in the name of Jesus. Those that came off across the whole front of the church that have hidden themselves here and harassed people all during this meeting, in the name of the Lord Jesus, remove them and take them out, bound that they'll not return, in the name of the Lord Jesus. For every person that received deliverance, for every vacancy within them, Father, I ask that you fill them with your Holy Spirit. And every person here that desires your Spirit, Lord, that is walking with you, that desires the Spirit, I ask for a new filling, Lord, a fresh and a new. Fill each vessel today, Lord. May we truly be your people, walking by the Spirit, Lord, allowing the Spirit to direct and govern us as we walk. I bind backlash or retaliation from Satan and his power to come against God's people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless the food and those who prepared it this day. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we just set it apart to nourish and strengthen us, our bodies, to do that which we desire and expect the food to do. And if any impurity has found its way in from any source, we nullify its power that it will not affect our lives in Jesus' name. We just thank you for the power of prayer that we can cleanse any food that the enemy has tried to put upon us that is not correct for our bodies. So we just praise you. We thank you. We give you glory. We do it all in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.